Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is TWiT Photo, episode number 47, with Catherine Hall and Leo Laporte, recorded on Tuesday, March 6, 2012. Gary Arntz.
TWiT Photo is brought to you by Audible.com. To download a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/TWiT Photo. And by Squarespace.com, the fast and easy way to create a high-quality website or blog. For a free trial and 30% off your new account for 3 months, visit Squarespace.com and use the offer code TWITPHOTO3. It's time for TWiT Photo! Catherine Hall is back. Welcome back, Catherine Hall. We missed you, but you had a good time in Vegas.
Yes, I had a great time in Vegas.
How many? You had 8 or 9 photographers last week.
Yeah, 8 photographers. That's a lot of photographers.
And I loved the theme.
When you announced it, you couldn't even help but chuckle.
It was great. But it was actually a fantastic conversation. If people haven't seen it,
yeah.
It was from the Wedding and Portrait Photographers International show,
yes,
WPPI.
Yeah.
And really well worth watching. So, and it was nice for me because all I had to do was sit here and watch. I just introduced the show and we rolled the tape.
So you put it all together.
You know, I asked Tony, I said, you cut this down, you tighten it up. He said, no, it's just the way it is. It was so perfect. He said, literally, I couldn't find anything to cut out.
Oh.
It was that good.
Next time I should swear or something.
Give him something to do.
Give him some more work.
So before we get to our guests, we're going to actually have two guests. We have a jam pack. This is a content
rich show. This is a crazy episode.
We're going to talk about travel in just a little bit. But first, you, as you often do, and I love it, have a tip on your website that I think is very interesting. Using movement in imaging to create spontaneity and dynamism.
Yes. So, as you see, if you go to my blog and read it, one of the things that I find is that when I'm photographing people, the first images are always a wash. Because they're aware of the camera. They're self-conscious of you.
Yeah.
They don't know you.
Yeah.
And it takes a while to sort of, I say, break them down. Tamara Lackey says batter them. She's talking about children.
She doesn't say that while they're there, but yeah.
But anyway, you got to break them down. And then they'll just start being real. And then you capture images that have a real spontaneity to them, something that's raw, and it has a feeling, an emotion, and it feels like a moment.
Is this
versus
Tibet? Where is this that you took this?
That's in Peru.
Peru, I should know.
So
that's
in
beautiful.
Honor of our guest that we will introduce shortly. I wanted to do something that was travel-oriented today. So, and another thing I wanted to talk about in regards to learning photography.
Yes.
Guess what I did this weekend?
What did you do this weekend?
I cried.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Did you have a wedding to take pictures of?
No, I watched Sue Bryce on Creative Live.
Yeah.
And do you remember Sue from
Yeah.
Hannah and Sue? There was a point where she actually brought tears to my eyes because she's so inspirational.
You know, it's funny. I often cry during this show for the same reason. They're very inspirational
really?
People.
You cry?
You've seen me tear up.
You tear up.
A couple of weeks ago, I teared up.
Oh.
Yeah. It's beautiful stories that we have sometimes here.
Yeah.
Inspiration is great. No, it is. I'm not being facetious.
No, I know. I know.
And Gary's going to make me cry, I could tell.
Yeah. Gary already made me cry. Anyway, so Creative Live, you can download it on their website. It's 3 days of instruction for only $149, which is a huge deal. And Sue Bryce is just, she's my idol. She's my hero.
There's never been a better time to be learning photography, I think, than right now.
I know. It's so accessible.
Because of shows like this, because of Creative Live, people like Trey giving away everything he knows, doing photo walks.
Leo?
He did a 300-person photo walk in Santa Monica. 300 people. And because of people like Scott Kelby, who do such a great job teaching people how to use the software, how to take pictures. I just think this is a great time. If you've ever wanted to get into photography, and Creative Live is basically online seminars, right?
Yeah.
Workshops.
So they have real workshops where people come in studio, and they'll do the actual workshop, and then they'll film it and they'll air it, and it's 3 days long, and it's just packed full of really, really good content at a very accessible price.
creativelive.com. Wait a minute, I have a shot. It's working.
It's loading. We're stumbling
working
a little bit.
It's working. I think you should be able to see my screen now. We were having trouble earlier.
And speaking of... Wait, load it. Wait for it. Wait for it.
Can you see my screen yet?
All right, well, so maybe Tony can plug it in.
Tony will add it after the fact. You see, you wanted him something to give him something to do?
Yeah. There you go. Cut.
Sorry, Tony.
But anyway, speaking of education, we have the king of online education.
Scott Kelby.
Scott Kelby
training is amazing.
Today.
Hey, Scott.
Hi, guys.
We're so excited. We, in lieu of Lightroom 4 launching, thank you so much for offering to be here with us today and give us some... Why is Lightroom 4 amazing? What is up with it?
Well, first, I think the big thing is, I mean, it's wonderful, and I'll tell you about the wonderfulness in just a second, but they cut the price in half. I think that's crazy.
Wow.
It was $299. The new official price is now $149, $79 for the upgrade. You can upgrade from any version of Lightroom 1, version 1, version 2, version 3, all the way to Lightroom 4.
I'm going to give Apple credit for this because they dropped the price of Aperture to $79, I think it is. And I think that that's often, for people on Macs anyway, is the question. Lightroom or Aperture? Both of these programs are designed for workflow to let you see your photos and then enhance them, fix them. Also, sometimes a front end to Photoshop. And don't you think, Scott, that Apple dropping the price on Aperture put the pressure on Adobe to do the same with Lightroom?
Well, quite honestly, I think if Aperture was $299, you wouldn't see Adobe dropping their price.
It was $299. Remember, it was. Yeah.
No, it was. It originally was. It was. Yeah. It was actually more than that, right? It released, wasn't it? Like $499.
It was very
it lasted
expensive.
Like
60
days. Then they dropped it to $299. Now it's down to $79. So I'm sure that's certainly. I mean, Adobe certainly wants to be competitive. So I'm sure that they would be the first to tell you, well, we want to stay competitive.
Well, and as somebody who started with Lightroom 1 and those upgrades were starting to add up, I'm glad to see a $79 upgrade price. That's a nice...
Yeah, that's huge.
Because, I actually was thinking, well, should I do it? So this has been out for a while as a beta test, but as of today, it's now for sale. It's finished. It's done.
It's baked.
It's baked. It's cooked.
It's fully baked.
What's new?
And, I think that the main thing, that, like, if I had to hang my hat on one thing, and there's lots of different features. They added the geotagging maps, and they added a books feature, and they added all these different things. But really, at the end of the day, I think what makes it worth the upgrade is that they made improvements to how it edits photos. And by editing, I mean, you know, exposure and contrast and tonal values and things like that. That is so much better than not only any previous version of Lightroom or Photoshop, but better than anything I've ever seen ever.
Wow.
And I think at the end of the day, if you think, well, so Leo, what do we spend for a lens these days? Like a nice 70 to 200 lens, what, $2,400?
Sure.
Right? An 85-1.4, right? Catherine, what would that be?
$1,800. Like,
$1,800,
ding,
bucks,
ding,
right?
Ding.
Yeah. So I just bought the 1.2.
Right, we'll pay all that money.
Oh, 1.2 is what I said, sorry.
Yeah.
What if you could just pay $79 and everything that you touch looks better, not just the ones that you shoot with a particular lens that costs a ton, but for $79, what photographer wouldn't want to all, you know, to be able to make every single photo they touch look that much better? I think that's really the compelling reason. It's they've improved so many things. It just looks better. I mean, I don't know how to say it. There's a button you push, and it's called the Make Look Better button.
Is it really?
No, that's what we call it internally.
Oh, okay.
But so let's just say that you had Lightroom 3 and you made a bunch of adjustments.
Right.
When you bring it into Lightroom 4, it looks exactly the same. All the sliders are the same. You're like, well, where's the new stuff?
Right.
But then there's the Make Look Better button. And it looks like a warning. It looks like an exclamation point in a triangle. It looks like a European road sign. And if you click on that, it literally updates how it processes the photo from what Adobe had in 2010. It's called the 2010 process version, to the 2012. And you hit the button and you just go, oh, that looks better. But you can even take it beyond that. I mean, it is. It's just that. So, I mean, I could go through and list all the different stuff and go, oh, they have this and they have that and this is better and that. They tweaked that. And that's all good stuff. But that is literally the icing on the cake on what I believe is the most important thing to photographers. If you said $79, all your photos look better. Where do I sign up? I'm in.
Well, don't you think photographers want control to, and it feels like a cheat to have an enhance button. That's what, to me, that's what amateurs want. That's what you have in iPhoto. That's what you have in Picasa. Press one button, kind of. Enhance.
But
I guess if it works.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
I do think it's gone so sophisticated that I actually will push the auto and then pull it back. So I'll use the auto function and then tweak it, personalize it if I need to.
So
it's not shameful to use this, Scott Kelby.
Isn't
it shameful to use this? I mean, they don't want to admit that they're using this button.
Okay, wait. Now, that's a different button. There is an auto-tone button. That's the one you're shameful about using. The auto-tone button, which, by the way, they made better in Lightroom 4. The auto-tone button is the cheating button. That's the one that it really is. What this is doing is just, it's taking the edits you already did and applying the technology that didn't exist when you did them. So, yes, your photos look better, but it's not an auto-fix button. It's an auto update to the latest technology. It would be like if you bought a car and, you know, it had a nav system in it. And then one day you see a little button on there and you press the button and it's like a much better, newer nav system. That's really what it is. It doesn't really change how you got there. It's just it looks better. So now the make it better button that's always been in Lightroom is better. And that's the auto tone. That is a one click where you're like, I don't know what to do. This photo looks terrible. Auto tone, and then if it looks good, you go, yeah. Auto tone rules.
Yeah.
But that's not the case. So it's, you know, the process version is updating you to the latest technology that Adobe has created. There's no shame in that, Leo.
Have they, you know, I've talked to some photographers who say, I prefer the camera raw in Aperture to the Adobe Camera Raw engine that's used by Lightroom. Have they made modifications to ACR, or is it still the same ACR that came with the most recent Photoshop and all of that?
Okay, well, the latest version of ACR is built into Lightroom, and all those things I've been talking about are the Camera Raw changes.
Right.
So it is.
So that's what you're talking about, is improvements to Camera Raw rendering.
Right. Right, because Camera Raw rendering is actually built into Lightroom. It is the develop module of Lightroom.
Right,
so,
right.
Yes, so it's all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It's dramatically better. It's like, you know, it's way, way gooder and better.
Way better, gooder. And I want to congratulate Melissa. Is it Melissa Gall or Melissa
Gall?
Gall. I don't want to mispronounce it.
Is it Melissa or Melinda?
Melissa.
Melissa, okay.
Yeah.
Melissa.
She's number one on the list.
Of what?
Of the Lightroom credits.
Really? Well, you know,
she
went with us to Tasmania. She's one of the developers. She was great.
She's amazing.
And
she taught me Lightroom.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. So she's on. She's
number one. She's awesome. Numero uno.
Awesome. That's great.
So shout out to Melissa on that one.
Well done, Melissa.
Well, thanks for joining us, Scott. We really appreciate it.
Are you working on new Lightroom 4 courseware for everybody?
Well, of course, and I would hate to mention this on the air.
So don't.
I would never take this opportunity to mention my new book.
So don't.
Because it's unprofessional.
Too late.
You just don't do stuff like that. You don't mention that the book is already written and is in production right now, because that would be abusing my privilege of being here as a guest. And I would never do that to you guys.
Well, if you weren't going to tell us, why don't you not tell us when it'll be available in bookstores?
Well, that's a good question.
I guess you won't.
Well, no, the book is already written, because I stole all of it from Deke McClellan. So it's very easy. So it's in production now. It goes to the publisher. It's probably still a month or so away.
Got it.
So, you know, it takes them forever to print these things. Printing is very, very, what's the word I'm looking for? Slow.
Slow.
But it'll probably be in an ebook, you know, before then. But.
Well, I'm downloading Lightroom 4 right now, so we better get you off Skype, because I know your connection is going to drop off as everybody in the studio starts downloading Lightroom 4. Thank you, Scott Kelby.
Absolutely.
Thank
my
you,
pleasure.
Scott.
Thank you, Kelby. Thanks,
training.
Leo. Thanks for having me
ScottKelby.com,
on.
ScottKelby.com, at Scott Kelby on Twitter. Take care, Scott. He
Thank
didn't
care,
this time get up and walk into the other room.
I know.
He showed us up last time.
You want to put us to shame. I mean, we have expectations here.
Thanks, Scott. Take care. So, that's exciting. I literally am downloading it because
I can't wait to play.
But don't you think that...
$79 upgrade.
Photographers really don't want to admit it if they use a single button and it gets it.
Well, I thought so too, but... I really do use it, and then I scale around.
And then you, but that's like a starting point. That's a starting point. When people are paying for the Catherine Hall touch,
yes.
It's the little extra sliders.
It's the tweaks.
It's the tweaks that do it.
You can't just do the generic.
Let's take a break, and we're going to introduce our guest, who's been very patiently sitting here, probably with many things to say about Lightroom. He is a travel photographer. Gary Arndt is here, and we're going to have a great time. talking about traveling the world.
Yes, we are.
I can't wait. But first, let's talk about... Actually, Gary knows about this because you have a Squarespace site, don't you? Didn't you tell me?
I have a podcast, and we host it on Squarespace.
You host your podcast on Squarespace?
Yeah, we put up all the...
What's the domain for that?
This Week in Travel. Completely ripped you off?
No, I think that's great.
And we don't talk about tech.
That's... You know what? I have no problem with that. That's great. This Week in Travel. There was a This Week in Baseball long before there was a This Week in Tech.
With Mel Allen.
That's right.
There is no originality.
ThisWeekInTravel.com. And this is a Squarespace site.
Yep.
That's
wasn't
pretty
that awesome?
Awesome?
Is there a reason you chose Squarespace to do this?
I was lazy.
Yeah, that's the reason. That's why people should use Squarespace, because it's easy. I just got invited to Squarespace 6. I'm going to move my. I have been for years on WordPress because I liked, you know, hitting my head against a brick wall. I enjoyed that. I liked wrestling with the stuff and having security issues. But I've gotten tired, I've gotten old, and now I'm just going to Squarespace it all the way. If you want to try Squarespace, I highly recommend.
All the release app, what you pulled up, that's on Squarespace.
Really?
Yep.
You're using it too?
I'm using it too.
We'll talk about that in a bit. This is Catherine's new app. See, you know what I like? Okay, now just look at it. One little thing. So you see these fonts in the top here? They now have 300 Google fonts. In the past, you know, you had like four fonts you could use on the web. Everybody had to use the same four fonts for browser compatibility. Now Squarespace supports these. This is real text, but it's using the Google fonts typefaces. So you get a really good look. This is just one of many reasons you want to go to squarespace.com and click that green button. That's the try it free button. You get 2 weeks. No credit card needed or anything. Just a name of a site, a password, and an email address. You'll get all the features of Squarespace, the incredible templates. They've added more. The social integration for Flickr and Twitter and Facebook. The incredible statistics. It's so nice to know what's going on. Of course, the iPhone, iPad, and Android apps that let you post on the go. And watch the statistics. Statistics. And... moderate comments. Did I mention 13 new template redesigns, 85 new style options, 2 brand new templates, and of course the best help 24/7? That's what you're paying for. You're paying for, you know, yes, I understand they're free design engines, and if you're a cheapskate, go ahead and use the free engine. But if you're a pro, or you want your site to be pro, you want all the features, you want great support, Squarespace is very reasonable. In fact, I'm going to make it even more reasonable. If you use the offer code TWITPHOTO3, the number, all one word, TWITPHOTO, the number 3, you'll save 30% off your new account for the first 3 months. But you don't have to buy yet. Just try it first. It's hosting plus the best damn software ever. Squarespace.com. The secret behind exceptional
websites. And Web8736, I know what you mean about Drupal.
We use Drupal. You know how much it's going to cost us? Okay, just want to.
Complicated.
There's a reason
expensive.
To use Drupal. You know, the Grammys use Drupal. Martha Stewart uses Drupal. We use Drupal for the Twit site. You want to know how much it's going to cost me to create the Tech Guy Lab site in Drupal? $100,000. Compare, and that doesn't include hosting.
I won't even tell you how much my site costs.
Yeah, that doesn't
Not
include
that much,
hosting.
But I'm a small business.
Yeah, me too. Squarespace. Well, I'm a big businessman, but a small business. Squarespace.com, the secret behind exceptional websites. If it's good enough for This Week in Travel, it's going to be good enough for you, right?
Damn sure.
And so they host the audio, too?
No, that's host on Libsyn.
You use Libsyn. Yeah. Oh, you got it all down.
He's smart.
You're smart.
He's a smart guy.
We just cut and paste a Flash script.
And it's in there. And then you got to tell me, Catherine, because we mentioned this. What is top model release? What is this?
It is the app that we're going to be launching this April. That it's going to be so photographers can get model releases on the go, and
this is brilliant
via iCloud. And it's everything I've wanted in a virtual, any model release as a photographer.
A lot of people like me are starting out in photography. You know, a pro probably has model releases, right? But I don't know what to do. I don't even know what the legalities are. And I'm doing street photography. This is good. You put this on your iPhone or your iPad. Can they sign it on the iPad?
They sign it on the iPad, and it's legal.
Street legal.
Yep, lawyer approved.
Lawyer.
Photographer
I love this.
Crafted. Lawyer
it says
approved.
Photographer crafted. Lawyer approved. I love that.
Yeah, and the thing that's really great about it too is. You know, I think that you were just saying you're not a professional. So
I don't
know
what to do.
But you'd be surprised, because when I was getting started, I did not use model releases. And it bit me later.
Yep.
Because people wanted to use the images for things. Like Adobe wanted to use them for some, and I couldn't license them because I didn't have permission.
It. Yeah, you didn't have permission.
So it's like...
Don't make that mistake. So that's coming out in April.
Yeah.
Good for
Early
you.
April. I'm very excited.
So let's introduce our guest of the week here.
Not only was he in Time Magazine nominated 25 best blogs.
Really?
Also National Geographic, top 10 travel blogs.
Wow.
And I think the most special thing about him is he's actually, since 2007, he's been homeless.
Now, Gary, I'm so sorry to hear that. Can I give you a buck or two to help you out, dude?
Yeah, I got a little change can. I'll be sitting outside the brick house for the next rest of the day.
We have to introduce you now as the peripatetic Gary Arndt, right?
I got to look that up to make sure it's okay.
He never stops moving. EverythingEverywhere.com. But also on Facebook and not on Google Plus?
No, I'm on Google Plus. But I was talking to Catherine before the show that outside of the tech world, and I'm
nobody knows about it.
The reason I'm in San Francisco is I'm at a travel social media conference.
No, you're here because of us. And the travel social multi was just the piggyback.
No.
But yeah, everyone is saying that there's just nothing happening on Google Plus.
Yeah.
And then I hear some people, if they're like, you know, Robert Scoble, they say, oh, everything's happening on
Google
Plus.
Well, that's because he's Robert Scoble.
Right.
Trey Ratcliffe has used it to good effect, but I think really, you know, it's free. Do it. But Facebook and Twitter are, and you use Twitter very actively.
Oh, that's where my audience is Twitter and Facebook.
Yeah. So I think that that's true. And of course, the website, everything, everywhere, with a dash in between.
If you don't put in the dash, there's a mobile phone company in the UK, T-Mobile and Orange, merged.
They're very lucky.
And they picked my name, which I was using for 3.5 years before they did.
Ugh,
oh,
I
no.
hate them.
Smart guys. So, speaking of, it begs the question, out with the tin can. That's everyone's question. How are you financing this?
Yeah, what do you mean? When you're not, you never you live in a hotel every day.
1 week ago, 1 week from today, March 13th, 2007, I sold my home, and I've been traveling ever since.
And I take it your wife is still back in Texas.
There is no way you could do this with my wife.
But you know what? This is awesome. I mean, this is the dream a lot of us have had, right?
Oh, yeah.
To
I mean,
see
I,
the world.
I get this every day. I tell people what I do, and they're just like, wow.
Yeah.
And, you know, what's your favorite place? You know,
I love it because your site says where you are.
That's actually hooked into Foursquare.
That's so cool.
So I check in, and then it instantly puts where I am.
Gary is currently here. In the studio. This is pretty neat.
It is pretty neat.
Yeah, are you going to do this? Is this your next? Is this you're going to give up your studio and just kind of travel around the world? Don't you ever want like a home cooked meal? Sean,
Ryan
says
one.
No.
Huh?
You could buy a home cooked meal.
You go to a lot of small places. You go to, you know, hole in the wall restaurants, eat street food. You know, that's the equivalent.
How many countries?
Countries and territories, 114.
All seven continents.
Yes. It was just in Antarctica earlier this year.
That's the one that's killing me. I've 6 out of 7. Like, I can't get to
Antarctica.
Can't get there. Every Australian state and territory. 9 out of 10 Canadian provinces. 100 U.S. National Park Service sites. 150. This is the one I'm most jealous about. 150 UNESCO World Heritage sites.
It's 175 now. But
that's awesome. I was at Machu Picchu this time last year, and it's an amazing thing to see these.
I didn't love Machu Picchu.
You didn't?
No. Did you? What did you think of Machu Picchu?
Never been there.
Well, good. Now I can make it 176.
You know why? It's because I was in Cambodia before they did a lot of, you know, they've been working on
You've been to Angkor Wat. Machu Picchu just pales.
Well, I mean, before
2001. Angkor is one of the most photogenic places I've ever been.
Yeah.
You could throw your camera in the air and take a good photo.
Yeah. Well, the thing about it is that, and this was before, Japan actually spent a lot of money, you know, putting into tourism in Angkor Wat area.
But Japan?
For tourism.
Huh.
Yeah. So anyway.
It's in Cambodia.
It's in Cambodia.
Yeah. Okay. Just checking.
For tourism. But anyhow, before I went, it was very raw and real and like just falling apart. And so I experienced this really ancient cultural, you know, journey. And then I went to Machu Picchu and it was just groomed. It was too perfect. It wasn't real. So anyway. But I digress. So people out there are dying to know, how are you financing this?
When I first started traveling, I had savings. I sold my house. I had a business that I had, internet company that I had sold back.
You weren't a photographer.
This is great.
I didn't know my aperture from a hole in the ground when I started. I literally knew nothing about photography. I bought a camera that was way over my head and started taking photos in
automatic mode that were horrible. And they're still up on my
Hawaii
site.
2007.
So you can see them. They're horrible exposure. I was shooting in medium quality JPEG, doing everything wrong that everyone does when they start taking photos. And this was 5 years ago. And I went through a process where I just was, these photos are awful. What do I have to do to improve? Read some things online. Analyzed what photos were doing good, started shooting in aperture priority mode, and just gradually improved what I was doing, paid closer attention to things, became more skilled in post-processing, and I'm still learning.
You use Lightroom or Aperture?
Lightroom.
Lightroom. These are, is that St. Peter's? Where is this?
That's in Florence. That's the Doma.
The Doma, of course. It's beautiful. So these are obviously not the early shots. these are after, but that's pretty good. In just a matter of a few years, you became quite an accomplished photographer.
Thanks.
Yeah.
So culturally, what motivates you to travel?
I like learning new things. I mean, I like experiencing. I like new things. And if I ever am in a place for a couple of weeks, I get antsy and I want you to start moving again.
So you know, everyone, when people travel, they do the out of office.
Yeah.
Email, auto replies, they stop blogging. You are going to all these remote places and blogging and staying active on social networks.
I have gotten
every single
online
day.
In some of the most bizarre places, you know, islands in the middle of the Pacific. I did one. It was an island in the Solomon Islands, which is hard to get to anyways. It was a remote island. They had a packet data relay link using VHF to the capital in Honiara, which was then hooked up to the internet. I've done it through dial-up. I've done it through... I've learned more about picking up free Wi-Fi signals, walking the street than probably anyone. I've been couched in, you know, lobbies of hotels where I could just get a signal from a nearby hotel.
So the gist of it is, no matter where you are, you will find a connection and you will communicate.
Yeah, I've even done it from Antarctica.
What drives you to do that?
To share what I'm doing with other people around the world. I understand a lot of people would love to do what I do, but most can't. Realistically, you have obligations. You have a house. You have a job. You know, other things. It could be health issues. And so by sharing, you know, photos and stories of the places I visited, it lets people, you know, kind of live vicariously through.
I know where you got this. He says in his blog, I own one of the larger collections of National Geographic magazines and books in the world.
Oh, yeah.
You were dreaming of this your whole life, I suspect.
My dad used to subscribe to National Geographic, and I remember reading it. And after I sold my company, one of the things I started spending money on was old National Geographic issues. And the old issues, we think of National Geographic now as photography. You know, very, you know, if you say you're a National Geographic photographer, that's a, you know, great thing.
Oh, yeah.
It was an academic journal to start. And it was roughly 100 years ago when they discovered Machu Picchu. It was a National Geographic expedition with Hiram Bingham that went there. And they showed these photos to the world. And that was really where National Geographic began to take off and become associated with photography.
Yeah. So you said you started with savings. Now the website is supporting you? And
the website, I have some sponsors. G Adventures, they're one of the biggest adventure travel companies. I work with them. They took me to Antarctica. Scotty Vest.
Yay!
Decked out in Scotty Vest gear, as you can see.
You know, you and I look alike. We're all wearing Scotty Vest stuff.
Yeah, I work with Scotty Vest, and I have some products that are coming out. I have an iPhone app that hopefully will be out this week.
Yeah, I'm very excited. Tell us about the iPhone app. I'm really excited.
It's basically 800 photos that I've taken from around the world, and every day there's a brand new photo that'll be updated to the app. So it lets you just sit and daydream and see photos from around the world. And as I visit new places, new pins on the map will be added that will let you see the places I visit.
You say you don't like it when people say you're just a lucky son of a gun.
No.
You don't like that.
There are a lot of people. If you live in a developed country, there's nothing stopping you at some point in your life from traveling for several months. Whether it's when you graduate high school, whether it's when you're retired or take a career break, at some point in your life, you can do it. You just have to make it a priority and make the decision to want to do it.
Do you think you'll keep doing this? You want to settle down at some point?
I want to keep doing it the rest of my life.
You're not going to stop.
No.
Look at his eyes. He's focused. He's not going.
I love what I'm doing. I have one of the best jobs in the world.
Yeah.
So you mentioned a lot of people can't do it because of, you know, family, health, blah, blah, blah. But there are a lot of people that are trying. What do you think differentiates you as successful at doing this versus the people that aren't able to actually make a living at it?
Travel writing, travel photography has always been very popular. A lot of people aspire to doing it because they see it as very glamorous being able to travel. And now with the internet, the barrier to entry has been dropped. There's a lot of people that get into travel blogging. And I think one of the advantages I have is that I had a background on the internet. So I had an internet business. I knew about marketing. I knew about other things. So I think that was really my advantage. And I've been doing it longer than most people. I had one of the first travel blogs, and I've just not stopped.
I think passion, too. The passion's very evident and driven, incredibly driven.
Now, are these penguins, is that Antarctica or is that the Falkland Islands?
Neither. That is South Georgia Island.
South Georgia Island.
Which, may I add, I think is better than Antarctica. Not many people get to South Georgia, about 5,000 people a year. But I had a 500-millimeter lens when I took that one, and it's just 150,000 penguins, king penguins, all in one spot.
What you don't get from the picture is there is a certain smell to that.
That is true.
What were you shooting? You were shooting it at 500 when you shot that?
Yeah.
All the way
out. I mean, it's the compression makes the shot. So...
Yeah,
that
that's a good point.
The question.
That's a good point. You consciously chose to get all those heads in there.
Well, one problem I've always had traveling has been wildlife photography because I can't carry the gear with me, those heavy lenses. So when I went to Antarctica, I said, okay, I may never get here again. So I rented a lens through Barrow Lenses, brought it with me. It was like carrying a toolbox with me.
What'd you bring?
The 500.
The 500-millimeter lens. And
a prime 500.
Yes.
And Canon or Nikon?
Nikon.
Nikon. D3?
No. D300S is what I primarily shoot with, a crop sensor.
Okay.
Although
so the 500 cropped is going to be like 750, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So I did, I mean, and the photos I took from Antarctica I think are the best ones I've ever taken. I haven't even processed most of them yet.
I'm so jealous. How did you get there?
By boat.
Well, of course you did. But did you go with a tour company? Or
yeah, G-Adventures.
G-Adventures.
They have a ship, the MS Expedition. They do Antarctica in the Antarctica.
It's like a month, though, isn't it?
It was 18 days for Falklands, South Georgia, and then the Antarctic Peninsula.
Okay.
How
often
do people go on those and they just get socked in?
There were many people on the ship who this was their second, third, or fourth trip to the Antarctic.
Because they were getting socked. They had to keep going back.
I was in Tierra del Fuego, and we couldn't fly in. Waz and I and a bunch of other people were wearing snowsuits, and we go out to the airport. And they say,
we had the best weather the people said that they have seen in years. We got to South Georgia,
jealous.
And it's normally clouded over, blue skies. We had a smooth Drake Passage crossing.
What fun! What fun!
A lot of luck.
So you have a unique... We talk about the 500 millimeter and how you normally can't carry it.
Right.
And he has a unique situation in that you don't have a home base. So you can't bring out certain gear for certain assignments.
I have to carry everything with me all the time.
Yeah.
Crazy, isn't it? So what do you have with us right now?
Right now?
Yeah.
Like you want me to...
Bring it out.
Oh.
So you have to carry it with you all the time.
Okay. I recognize the... wow, that is a big backpack.
Can the camera get it?
I recognize the backpack. That's not... you're going to have to hold it in your lap.
Okay.
He's used to it.
Everything except my SB900, which is a strobe, and my tripod.
And your laptop, too?
Laptop, video camera.
Wow.
Everything. All the
and
wires,
this is a glide
all the batteries.
Lock case?
Yeah, I was actually at an Adobe conference, and they kind of, it's a low pro. So
it looks like a low pro, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It is.
There
and,
you go. I have a very similar low pro, actually, yeah.
It's actually not that bad, considering.
No, three lenses, two bodies, all of the.
You gotta pull it out. But how do you streamline it? How do you decide?
Most of what I shoot is going to be landscape, architecture, things like that. So I have a wide angle lens. I have a 12-24mm Nikon. I have a 50mm 1.4 lens. Because I had issues with low light in the past, and so I want some really fast. And my primary lens is an 18-200, which is so beat up. This has been with me for 5 years. I can't put the lens cap on anymore.
Plastic's coming off.
I can't put the hood on anymore. Yeah, the focus ring is coming off. Anything that's not metal or glass is basically falling apart.
This is an advertisement for Nikon?
No kidding.
This has been to 7 continents, 100 countries, 5 years, and I'm about to get a new one eventually, but the optics are fine.
Right.
And I've taken some great photos with it in the last month.
Does Nikon sponsor you?
No.
They should sponsor you. Nikon. Nikon. Nikon, Nikon, Nikon.
Nikon.
Or Nikon. Maybe it's because you're not saying Nikon.
You're not saying
Nikon.
It right. Nikon.
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 Anyway, Nikon.
We digress. So tripod, do you ever carry a tripod with you?
Yeah. It's not on my bag right now, but I just bought one last week, a brand new one. It's an Oben carbon fiber. It's very similar to a Gitzo, but it's I think it's the white label brand that B&H uses.
Yeah.
And it's a Gitzo, but cheaper.
What made you choose that?
I had been carrying around a Manfrotto tripod for the last 5 years.
Aren't they?
And it's heavy, and the ball head is really heavy. And yeah. So I was just like, I had to buy the suitcase I use, or the bag, custom to fit the tripod because it was kind of long. And I got sick of that, and it's cut several pounds off of what I have to carry now.
Okay, so you have suitcase for tripod, and then what about the rest? You just all hand carry?
This is what goes on the plane with me. So this is what I check a bag with my clothes and whatnot.
Do you have a storage locker somewhere? Do you have a Dropbox somewhere? How do you get stuff? How do you get mail, for instance?
Where's your thousands of National Geographic magazines?
In my mom's basement.
like as they should be. That's where all
That's
National Geographics end up, right? So do you have stuff sent to your mom? I mean,
yeah. If it's mail or something, I get very little mail. It's all just junk mail.
Because everyone knows that you're on the road.
So yeah. You go home to your mom in Wisconsin, or
yeah.
So you go home how often?
Once or twice a year.
That's it. And then there's a stack this big of junk mail.
No, it's like this.
And a bunch of new
lenses. It's mostly credit card offers from frequent flyer programs.
Yeah, right. I bet they love you.
Oh, yeah. I actually,
up until just a couple weeks ago, I had elite status on all three alliances.
Wow. Huh.
So video. You use video a lot.
No, I don't actually.
On your blog, you have a lot of like clips that when we're looking at.
There's a fair number of small clips. When I started traveling, my intent was actually to do a video blog, but it was too difficult to do. This was when I started back in 2007. This was when before even the iPhone was released. So all the cameras that were available that I could get had tape, and carrying the tape around and doing something with it and doing all the editing myself and being in front of the camera and behind the camera was just too much work. So I focused on still photography. And if I ever do video, which I'd like to do in the future, it'll be when I can bring someone with me and they can do it.
So this is the one picture from Antarctica that you have on your website.
Yeah, I just have it. They're on my laptop.
So when do you process them? You just you hole up in a hotel room for a week and process stuff?
After Antarctica, I went to Belize for a week.
Wow.
And I just hung out on Key Clocker to catch up to the point where I was working on my Antarctica photos. Because I like to do them chronologically.
Right.
So I was in the UK and Germany for a month in November, December. Finished editing all those photos, and now I'm basically up to Antarctica.
How do you pick where you're going to go?
Opportunities.
You don't throw a dart at a map? Because it sounds like it.
No.
Belize, Germany, Antarctica?
When I first started, I would pretty much just go sequentially from country to country.
Right.
Now I get a lot of invitations because of the website from various tourism boards or companies. So I was in Valencia last year for the Formula One Grand Prix of Europe. I was in Australia a couple weeks ago for the Australian Open of Surfing.
Mm.
So I get invited to a lot of things like that. And
so the Grand Prix, you got to ride in a Formula One car.
Yeah.
Tell us about that. Besides the fact that that's the first time I've ever seen you swear.
It's not the speed, it's the acceleration. When you take off and when you're hitting the top speed, first of all, you very seldom go that fast. A top-end BMW could go that fast, but you're protected from a windshield and it's covered. When your face is hitting the wind, literally it wants to pull your helmet off. And so you kind of have to grab the chin strap to make... And you have a much greater respect for these guys because, one, the suits you have to wear are really hot. It's a very cramped space, and they're constantly accelerating, decelerating, and your body really feels it. And these guys are actually rather athletic, even though you wouldn't think
machine. I'm amazed they let you drive
that million-dollar car.
I didn't drive it. What they did is they took an actual Formula One car that actually won the Grand Prix of Brazil, I think, in 2005.
Who was the maker?
Porsche, I don't know. Then they put a modified chassis on it. So you have a passenger that sits between each set of wheels. And then they have an actual... the guy that was the driver for me was the Formula 2 world champ, I think.
Oh, wow.
And they just hired him for the event to come and drive it.
That's so you're basically riding shotgun to a Formula 1 driver. I would love to do that. That's really neat.
Yeah, you would love to.
Now, you didn't bring your camera, though. You can't take pictures of it.
No, I just gave my iPhone to a friend and said, here.
Shoot this. This is on Gary's
experience.
Facebook page if you want to.
But I've been able. I've been swimming with great white sharks. I've been swimming with jellyfish, whale sharks, bungee jumping. One of the photos that I had was actually, I think one of the three was 2 years ago when I was in Bangkok. They had political protests. real big political protests. And there was one happening about a block away from where I was staying where they had gallons and gallons of human blood that they were going to dump on the prime minister's house.
Oh, my.
So I get with my camera, and I go out there to play photojournalist for a day. And I'm between what you can see is about 1,000 police and riot gear, about 10,000 protesters. And it started to rain, and all the guys from, like, you know, Associated Press and all these big media, they go under the rain. I had an umbrella with me. So it was me by myself, and that guy was standing there, one of the protesters.
A look, boy.
Looking by him. But he was just all by himself, him and 1,000 cops. And I just thought that was
a
great shot.
So that's not that's a protester.
Yeah.
Wow. Very dramatic. Very dramatic stuff.
So with all these things, is there one actual adrenaline rush that stands out?
This was a big one. Bungee jumping was something I've done twice now.
I went in New Zealand. It's the same company you did.
Yeah, the AJ Hackett.
AJ Hackett.
And now that I've seen that video of the woman with a thing broke, I'm never doing that. You guys are nuts.
It's just 3 seconds of tear.
Unless it breaks.
The bouncing part's really fun. When you get down, you're so high and you're just like bouncing around. But
here's it. Is this Angkor Wat?
Yeah. I had my camera set up on my tripod, and these monks were walking past. So I just took 3 images at the same exposure, and I thought it would just look neat to kind of show them as ghosts walking in the ruins of Angkor Wat.
You did something similar, it looks like, in the Duomo. Let me see if I can find that one here. Let's see.
So while he's looking, when you're carrying this big bag, a lot of times flight attendants, they want to take it if the plane is already full of carry-ons.
Over my dead body.
Oh, no way.
So, my question to you is, it's going to happen to any photographer out there that has a bag of gear. What are tips to get through the flight attendants that may be saying you need to check this?
I'm so used to carrying it now, it doesn't look heavy. So, and it does fit on a regular plane just fine.
It looks like it'll go under the seat.
That's the trick. And it does. It does go under the seat.
That's the trick. They can't take it if it'll fit under the seat.
The one airline that is very picky about the weight of carry-ons is Air New Zealand.
Yeah.
And what I've done is you just take get your Scotty vest stuff and you pack your stuff and you take your camera, put it around your neck and you say, there. And they go, okay, now you can go on.
I find if you're light on your toes with your giant heavy bag, you go, hi, how are you? They think, oh, it must be light.
Well, yeah. I've had people
and then
try
go,
to wrestle it.
I'm going to die.
But if you do, they're usually pretty good if you look like you're a photographer.
Right.
And
they understand.
I didn't put this as a tip, but look like you're a photographer. So if you got a vest and you got a lens, put it on, make it your camera look big.
Mm.
Because I've been in several places where they will, like, people will defer to you, or if there's someone who's working in a park, they will, like, you know, let you stand in a place to get a good photo. And I think it's true in airlines as well, is that they will. If you look like a professional,
you got to know when to, because we also hear from people don't look like a photographer.
Yeah.
Well, that's when you're out shooting, maybe, like in America, especially. Yeah.
You look like a photographer, they stop you from a lot of stuff.
Yeah. But I think that's the best takeaway is if making sure it will fit underneath the seats if absolutely necessary.
Well, and having a Scotty vest with 100 pockets.
Right.
So you just load it up.
Because that's what happens to me is my bags won't fit underneath there, so then I have to really fight with them.
Yeah.
Because, you know.
If there's no overhead compartment space, you might be out of luck.
I've just said you're going to have to move somebody else's stuff.
On the smaller regional planes, it's a bigger issue.
That's right.
If I just say, oh, there's $20,000 worth of gear in here.
Right.
It's not really $20,000, but I say $20,000 worth of gear.
That's
they don't want to mess with it. They don't want to break it because then they're going to be held liable.
And then you'll have people following you out when you get to the country that you're going to.
Not that big of a...
Where is this is another one of your favorite shots.
Okay, this was taken... I was in Jerusalem a couple years ago during Holy Week, and I visited the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, which is the most holy place in Christendom. Mm-hmm. And I set up my camera and my tripod. This is the hill where the cross supposedly was, and that is the door, and that's the stone of anointing where pilgrims come and they will pray on it. And I originally was trying to take a high dynamic range photo, which if you have a lot of people moving is probably not going to turn out. And I processed it and I thought, oh, this is terrible. And then I looked at it a little bit more and I liked the ghosting effect and the movement that it showed, and so I just kind of went with it.
Yeah, I love it. Sometimes mistakes or what you might think of as mistakes can be serendipitous.
True.
They can be valuable. Yeah. And so, as long as we're talking about your 3 favorites, here's the 3rd.
Yeah.
This I brought up because every time I show this to people, they're questioning, if you've been to Prague and you've been to the Charles Bridge, it's packed with people all the time, packed with musicians, people selling T-shirts, and everyone says, there's no one on the bridge. what happened? Well, the answer is simple. I had jet lag. I woke up early, took my camera out to the bridge, and just took pictures of people, you know, on an early morning walk. And that's what you got to do sometimes if you want to get those kind of photos.
All the I remember this in Tasmania. Everybody was always getting up at 4 in the morning to go somewhere. Then I'm saying, nah, I'll catch you later. You go.
I know. It makes
enjoy.
A huge, especially with monuments. Like when I went to Machu Picchu, like the first bus, you could have sort of get a feeling of what it might have been like from a vibe-wise to be there long centuries ago. But once...
Here's another good tip. If you're in a place like the Louvre and you go to the Mona Lisa, the interesting thing is not the Mona Lisa. It's the people looking at the Mona Lisa.
Yes.
And sometimes, I know you really want, sometimes you want to get rid of the crowd. Sometimes the crowd can be the attraction. You go to the Leaning Tower of Pisa, everyone's doing this. And they want to do the photo of them holding it up. So I took pictures of people, not of the Leaning Tower of Pisa, but of people doing
holding
this,
it up.
Which I thought was far more entertaining.
Much more interesting.
Well, you talk about that a lot in give us a couple tips for people using point and
before
shoot
camera phones. Before you do, we're going to take a break. We're talking
thanks,
to Gary
Leo.
Arndt, travel
keeping us on track.
Photographer, everything, everywhere, everybody, with a dash in the middle. Don't go to the other site.
Just Google it.
Google it. Google Arndt. That's a good thing about having...
I like your last name.
An very unusual unique. Name. If you were Gary Smith, it would be harder for you to succeed. It's always a good
like
thing.
Like a Catherine Hall?
It's
totally
hard.
Screwed.
There's even other photographers named Catherine Hall.
CatherineHall.com. Like, thank you so much.
So, but I notice you don't have GaryArndt.com. You have everything everywhere.
I have Arndt.com. I have Gary.Arndt.com.
Aren't you lucky?
I got that like 15 years
ago. You know, if I were a guy like you, a man without a home, a man without a country, traveling all over the world, spending many hours, how many hours in the air a month or whatever? Hundreds, probably.
I do well over 100,000 miles a year.
I would be a devoted Audible subscriber. I would listen to audiobooks all the time. I would have headphones plugged into my head 24/7 reading books.
It is funny you should mention that.
Are you an Audible listener?
I am. And not only am I an Audible listener.
You do everything we say.
But I got my Audible. I was in Australia. This was back in 2008.
Yeah.
And I drove from Darwin to Perth, which, and there's nothing in Western Australia. It's completely empty. And, I was a listener of Twit for a long time, and you know, screensavers, everything, and so I broke down and I bought an Audible account using the Twit code, and that's when I started reading using audiobooks.
Awesome! I just owe you big time, Gary. You just did the ad for us. If you're traveling from Darwin to Perth, go to audiblepodcast.com/twitphoto, and you can sign up for that gold account, and you'll get your first book free. Yours to keep, cancel at any time. You never have to pay anything unless you decide to stick around. I think you might want to. There's so many great titles. What have you been listening to lately? You want to give us a recommendation, Gary, something you really enjoy?
I've been on a World War I kick lately, and the thing I've been on is The Guns of August.
Oh, Pulitzer Prize, Tuckman.
Yep.
Yeah.
The story of the first month of World War I. And
classic.
Really, because, you know, that's a war that I think as Americans, we were not as involved in as Europeans, and it didn't make an impact on us. The Civil War was really our big war, and there's a lot of it we just don't know.
But if you watch Downton Abbey, you know what a horrendous war the World War One was. This is the classic book about World War One. I noticed they have two. Do you know which one you listened to?
No.
I'm pretty sure I have this on my Audible, but it's not this one, so it must be the other one. This is the unabridged version.
I always get unabridged.
Oh, yeah, me too. You know what? I would get the... I don't know Nadia May, the narrator Nadia May, but I do know John Lee. He's one of my favorite Audible narrators, so this would be an excellent one to get.
But I almost always get nonfiction, with one exception. I remember there was a... I remember listening to one of your shows, and it was the latest Neal Stephenson book, the one where they dealt with alternate dimensions.
Anathem?
Yeah.
Yeah, what a great
book.
Did you enjoy that?
Too, yeah.
Yeah, long books. We like long books. Get your long books here. If you spend hundreds of thousands of miles in the air every year, you've got to have a long book of 32 hours and 30 minutes. I loved this. I really loved. Now, this was one some people didn't like. His new one is Reem D. I didn't like. Others people like this. You know, if you're going to be a Neal Stephenson fan, you got to start with his first big book, Snow Crash, which I have listened to and is fantastic. You know, you see the problem here. There's 100,000 titles. Fiction, nonfiction, history, World War I, World War II, This one looked really interesting on the front page here. Turing's Cathedral. I have to get this. The Origins of the Digital Universe. George Dyson is an amazing historian of science.
You know, another good reason to use Audible.
Why?
The iPad will not last. Its battery will not last on a flight to Australia. And I recently flown to Australia. I'm going back in April, and you can't read a full book on it.
Yep.
And I have a Kindle reader for the iPad. And
perfect.
It's basically the same battery requirements as watching a movie because mm-hmm. it's a white background. And so, but an audiobook, no problem.
That's good to know. That's really good to know. Yeah, it plays on the Kindle, the iPad, any iDevice, computers. You know, if you have an iPod Shuffle, you could probably get to Australia listening to a book on something like that. You know, so the less, yeah. Great. It's a must-have.
A must-have. Your iPhone. Maybe.
A must-have. Yeah. And they have an iPhone and an Android app. Audible podcast.
That's awesome. Your whole library is just right there. Click, ding.
Are you an Audible user, too?
Of course I'm an Audible user.
I don't know how these ads are going to work anymore because everybody is signed up.
We're all Squarespace and we're all Audible.
You're all using well, please, would you sign up if you haven't? Audible, you're like the last few people. You're the holdouts. Please, I beg of you, what's keeping you? Audiblepodcast.com/twitphoto, one book free. You figure out which of these books, these many books you listen to. You'll enjoy it, I know. Hunger Games. I got it. Before I see the movie, I got to read this book. I hear this is an incredible book, and I have not read it yet. And I always, science fiction especially, really like to listen to the book before I go to the movie. I don't want to do it the other way around.
You can't do it the other way around.
So this one, I don't have to get this one.
Loses its interest.
All right. Let's continue on. Gary Arndt. Tips.
Yeah. So for people out there that are traveling, they don't want to carry a lot of gear. Point, shoot, and camera phone.
I recommend people don't even bother with a point and shoot anymore. Just get a camera phone.
An iPhone 4S is as good as a point and shoot.
That's what I was thinking.
I started traveling. Literally, when I started traveling, it was between Steve Jobs announcing the iPhone and it coming out. So I was in the South Pacific, never got to see an iPhone. I ended up months later in Hawaii. I went to an Apple store to just touch one myself to see what it was like.
I just want to touch it.
that's really all. I have an SLR and I have an iPhone. That's all I use.
Yeah.
Nothing in between.
Pretty much all, you know, and I shouldn't be too Apple-centric because pretty much all the latest phones have pretty darn good cameras. Yeah. I think the 4S is the best camera out there, but and most Android phones, and we're seeing even better cameras coming out.
It's crazy.
We haven't talked about the Canon 5D Mark III yet. We should at some point mention that.
Mention it.
Nikon D800. Any thought about moving to a D800?
The main issue for me is low light capabilities because I'm often in a church, a cathedral, a place like that where I don't have a lot of light.
And you don't want to bring a lot of lights with you.
I don't know if I want to spend the money on a D4. I don't know if it's worth it. Actually, I might even just get a D700.
I hear very good things.
Because I don't know if I need 32 megapixels that the D800
has. That's the
thing.
You don't really – it's overkill, don't you think? And then you have these huge files while you're traveling.
And I mentioned to you before, I've never printed a photo.
He's never printed a
never
photo.
Never printed a
Where am
photo.
I going to put it? I don't have a house. I don't have a printer. So the idea of having 32 megapixels for a billboard just doesn't – everything I do is digital. You know, the formal presentation of my stuff is often in the form of an e-book. So it just needs to be able to display on an iPad well. I would rather have a big sensor that does – you know, that could –
and a lighter camera.
Yeah, and the weight is an issue too.
Yeah. So 5D Mark II, I've ordered it first day. It was available.
Mark III. You did?
Yes. So it's only a matter of time.
I'm curious. First of all, when do you think you'll get it?
They say end of March. I think they told
same time
me that
as the D800.
They told me that I'll be one of the first ones. So
you should be.
I'm going to hopefully bring it in before.
Good. Take it to Norway with you.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So, but I got it for the same what he was just talking about. The main thing is just the noise reduction,
right?
And also the ISO. So not only has the technology increased where the noise is less, but they have the higher ISOs and
which means
less
more
noise in there.
Better light sensitivity.
Yeah.
So as you said, you could shoot.
Yeah, it's up to 25,000.
That's pretty good.
Light is optional.
That's where, I mean, that's the D3 was so amazing in terms of its low light performance. And I'm sure the D4 will be.
And the processor is way faster too.
Yeah.
So
when I began traveling, I had a D200 and I would be afraid to go above ISO 400.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was so bad.
The Mark II, you can go to 3200, but it's not going to be great. So I'm excited to see the improvements with that one. So
where are you going next, Gary?
Tomorrow I go to Vegas, then I go to Austin for South by Southwest.
Do you get depressed like going to Vegas? You've been to the most Antarctica and the and Florence and Angkor Wat. Now you're going to Vegas.
What I like about Vegas,
yes,
is I can go down the Strip and I can go, oh, pyramids. I've been there. Caesar's Palace. I've been there. Yeah. Paris. I've been.
You've
there.
You've been to the real ones.
Yeah.
It's so strange to come from. We were in Paris in December and then Vegas in January for CES. And to go from the real Eiffel Tower
to the, it's a little surreal.
It's surreal, yeah.
Yeah, I'm running a photo tour this May. It'll be a 2-week trip around the Western United States, starting in San Francisco.
Oh, how fun!
Yosemite, Death Valley, Zion, Bryce Monument Valley.
Oh, God, beautiful places.
So it's going to be a great trip. And then I'm thinking later this summer I'm going to do the Trans-Mongolian from St. Petersburg to Beijing.
Oh, wow!
Can I just come with you? Like, does somebody maybe can hold your tripod or something?
Sure.
Oh, I'm jealous. How can people find out more about that workshop? How can they?
It's already sold out, but I do it with G Adventures, and when I do the next one, if it'll be on my website, Twitter, I'll be spamming the interwebs with it. Don't know where I'm going to do the next one yet, though.
Go to gadventures.com and I for Travel conference. And you're going to be at South By? You're doing a presentation there? What are you doing?
No. One of the companies I'm on the board of advisors for is Trippy.com, and they got some big announcements, so I'll be there.
I use Trippy. Them.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a social trip sharing thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you can ask, well, I'm going to San Francisco in July. What should I be doing?
They got some very cool stuff they'll be announcing.
Ah, cool. Mm-hmm. They're smart to have somebody
then I go
like
back
you
to Australia. I'll be in less than 3 months. I'll be on 5 continents.
Jeez. So thinking of Vegas, tell us your concept of travel porn.
Oh, when I was 9 months, I had several internet companies I had started. We were getting tens of millions of paid views. So I knew what good traffic was online. And 9 months into my trip, I was not getting that.
Right.
I could probably tell you the first names of everyone reading my website.
Were they all family members?
Pretty much. And friends.
That everybody's in that boat.
You start somewhere.
How do you make the transition?
I was in Hong Kong, and I said, either I'm going to quit doing this because it's a waste of my time, or I'm going to take it seriously and treat it like a business. Mm-hmm. I went to a mega, and I should note, I have no background in journalism, no background in travel and tourism, no background in publishing. I went to a newsstand, I bought every travel magazine, opened up a spreadsheet, and I just did an analysis. What is in here? I figure out how many countries are mentioned in each issue, how much of it consists of photography. And I realize it's 30 to 40 countries in each issue of a magazine.
Wow.
No one visits that in a month, let alone a lifetime.
Yeah.
It's mostly photography. It's what really motivates travel media is images of places that people long to go.
Mm.
Maybe they'll visit there, maybe they won't. And I decided, okay, I need to take photography more seriously. I began putting up a photo every day on my website, which I've done now for 4.5 years. And the highest compliment that I can get from someone is that they made a decision to visit a place because of a photo I took. That's really what I want. I'm more about the travel than the photography. At a certain level, the photography is a means for me to share the places I go.
Mm-hmm.
And that's travel porn.
Yeah. Venice, I said, I go, I want to go there. You know.
I think the definition I was pornography is watching people do things you will never do to people you will never do. Travel pornography is watching people go places you will never go and do things you'll never do.
Is this Buenos Aires? Where is this?
That's in Naples.
It's hard to keep track, isn't it, Gary?
Yeah, do you ever have problems keeping track?
No, I know where all the photos are taken. That's in Cinque Terre. That's in Costa Brava, Spain.
Oh.
So you have a good memory, because I forget a lot of places I've been.
You know, before I started traveling every day, kind of just, you know, you go to work, you get up, it all kind of blends into each other. I remember every day of the last 5 years.
Isn't that interesting? You're living
the best allow in Catalonia?
You're living the life.
So all the people that are out there that are in that zone that you are in, going to work, I mean, in the grind, not doing exactly what they want to do, not loving the job the way you love now.
Travel is so much more cheaper than people think. Because you see in the newspapers, you know, $3,000 for a week in Italy or something, and you extrapolate that out.
Right.
But in reality, you could just show up in Italy. I found a place that was 50 euros a night in Rome. It was a very nice room.
So you don't stay in luxury hotels?
No. Because I have nothing against it. Obviously, luxury is luxury. But the more I spend on a night in a hotel means the less I can travel. And I have very low standards. So, you know, I've stayed in some pretty nasty places, and I can live with it as long as they have
you
good bandwidth.
You have progressed so quickly. I mean, it's been just a few years from complete neophyte photographer to images like this. What are the things that have helped you get so good? What are your secrets? How can I get this good?
I'm very honest with myself about what is good and what isn't. And I just say what I looked at some images. These are all good. What do they have in common?
Right.
Well, I used my tripod. They were taken at sunset. I was in aperture priority mode. And
you have an analytic mind. It's the same thing you did with those travel magazines. You analyzed what works, what doesn't work.
My degree's in math. That's kind of how I think. And
look at that.
There's an artistic element. That was taken in Kulani National Park. It was in a helicopter flight I took.
That's glacial water.
Yeah, Yukon in Canada.
So blue.
Amazing.
That makes sense, your degree in math, because a lot of the images that I'm most attracted to have a lot of that geometric sort of vibe to them.
Like this.
And, yeah, you know, I don't consider myself an artist. I understand it's artistic. But I think photography is the one thing that lends itself most to an analytical mind than, say, painting. I can't draw.
Right.
One of my good friends, I think you know, Scott Kurtz, he's an artist. He draws and he fusses about the coloring and everything. I could never do that. This is something that works for me, though.
But I could tell you're doing some photo processing.
Sure.
Is it mostly Lightroom?
Lightroom, and I will also do occasional HDR, but not too much. And if I do, my goal is that people have to question, is it HDR?
Right.
I don't want it to be obvious.
There, that's a key. Can you say that again?
I want people to question whether or not it is HDR. And I've had some photos that weren't, and people thought they were, and then I've had everyone say, is this? And
this I love, cigar hand rolling.
That was
cigar
on the island of La Palma in the Canary Islands. And they have a lot of Cubans that actually reverse migrated back to the Canaries.
Yeah.
And I got to visit this cigar store.
Oh, you know that's going to be a good cigar right there. You just look at it,
you
can tell. Oh, look at the stars.
I've been able to do a lot of different types of photography. Underwater photography, aerial photography, and that was my chance at doing astrophotography.
It's
La
beautiful.
Palma is where some of the largest telescope in the world is. And next to the big island of Hawaii is the largest repository of big scientific telescopes. And so I had a guy come in and help me, and we set up on his telescope, which was mounted with a motor.
Wow.
And we did some...
It's so rare that you could see a nebula like that. It's just gorgeous. And then the shooting star in there, or whatever that is, a comet or something. This is a spectacular shot, just gorgeous. And then you have great people shots, too. Yeah,
this was again in Jerusalem. You know, the Western Wall is often called the Wailing Wall.
Yeah.
But it's not. It's the party wall. It's the happy wall because there are bar mitzvahs going on, and there are families there. And I thought this really captured the spirit of the Western Wall. It's a happy
picture.
Place. It's not a sad place.
Beautiful picture. Now, that's HDR.
Yes. That was taken in Glasgow in December.
Very nicely done. Very beautiful.
And that's in Edinburgh.
Want to know more? It's Everything Everywhere.
Everything dash everywhere.
With a dash in the middle.
Or just go to Google and it'll come up.
And Google aren't.
I have a random fact that you might enjoy.
Yes.
He is part owner of the Green Bay Packers.
How big a part?
One share of stuff.
But it
sounds
impressive.
Very close to Green Bay. And
you're a cheesehead.
I have done gymnastics to get online to follow Packer games all over the world at all times of day in the Antarctic.
You must have loved this year.
To a point.
Up to a point. Up to right to
I
the
liked
end.
Last year a lot
it was
better.
Great right to the end. Must have
when
been very exciting.
Yeah. Thankfully, I was in Antarctica for that last game, and I was able to just hide from people on Twitter because I was talking smack. And
look at this. Seal love.
That was in the Galapagos.
That is something that I notice, is that your styles of, you know, lots of different kinds of pictures, which is great. It's fun.
I've tried my hand. Yeah, like I said, I've done the real underwater photography thing with my camera and a housing unit, and I had a guy come with me.
Really fun. You're an adventurer. Look at all the prayer scrolls and the cracks there. The Wailing Wall. Thank you, Gary Arndt, for stopping by and sharing your travels with us.
Yeah, thank you so much for being here with us.
Since you travel so much, I hope you'll come back here. I know you're coming back here, actually, soon.
Yeah, I'll be back here in
May.
Summertime.
There you go.
Come back and visit us.
Thank you, I will.
So nice to see you.
Nice to see you.
And we'll get some more sponsors so that you can use some more of their stuff. Gary Arndt, everything-everywhere.com. There is his website with lots of pictures. But I think you get the idea. It's photography, but it's really about travel as well. And
Before we before we head off, real quick, I'm just going to say it really quick. He had three tips. Know where you are.
I thought we got the tips.
No.
Well, let's do them.
We'll do them speed style.
Well, you can do
them
slow.
Know where you are, lighting for location.
Know where the sun is shining.
Know where you are.
I was in Mount Rushmore. I didn't know which way it faced. I had to check that out before I went. A lot of people go to a place, they don't know which way a building is facing. The best times for tourism are in the middle of the day, which are the worst times for photography.
Right. You don't want all those people. Unless you're looking for people shots, like the mama and her two little girls.
I'm just thinking sunlight. You know, the middle of the day is when a lot of things are open. Sunset or in the evening, a lot of things are closed and you can't visit them. So be cognizant of that.
Bigger memory is better than more in terms of storage.
There's debate on this, I know, but I am a believer. Get the biggest memory card you can because it's safer in your camera than you are fiddling with it. I've almost dropped memory cards in sewers. I feel much more comfortable if it's just in my camera.
Yes.
That's a good point. I actually dropped one in snow when I was shooting a wedding outside.
And I think that's a little contrarian because a lot of people say get small memory cards so you're not committing so much
to
that
card.
Have
you ever had a memory card fail?
Yeah, but not very often.
Yeah, I've never...
Much more likely you did what I did last night, which is wash it in the washing machine. And then you go, oh, there's the 16-gig Kensington I was looking for.
But then they even have the... Oh, yeah, it's
That's
done.
Not
it's
a good
gone.
Thing. It's gone.
But even the recovery software, if you did, has improved so much.
So that's good. So how big? You shoot 32-gig cards?
16 years.
16, yeah. So that's what I shoot.
Yeah. No, I shoot 16. Good. I shoot 16 and 8, but I prefer 16. I don't go 32. That's
a lot of the cameras now have two slots, so you can be back.
Well, that's the one thing I like about the Mark III. You got an SD and a compact flash.
I would rather have two compact flashes than an SD and a compact flash.
I don't know. The future is moving the other way.
Cheaper.
Yeah.
And the future's moving towards SD.
All
the laptops have SD readers. They don't have compact flash readers.
Well, then maybe two of the same kind, because I want to be downloading multiple types of cards.
I get what you're saying.
Back up.
One of the big questions photographers always ask me is, how do I back up my images? And they always think that I'm doing it on the cloud because I don't live anywhere. And the answer is, you cannot back up gigabytes
in
a day
areas.
From a hostel room in Southeast Asia. It just doesn't work.
So you have like 15 hard drives in that backpack?
Two. I carry two USB hard drives.
And you ping-pong?
I mirror them, so I back them up on each. And then every so often when I get to my mom's house, I have 2 terabyte hard drives that I back everything up on, and that's where I keep it.
I do the same thing. I keep 2 drives, download, import the photos, make a copy, sync the 2 drives, so I have 2 copies. And I put one in my carry-on, if I have carry-on. I guess you don't ever. One of my carry-on and one of my checked bags.
Yep. Don't erase any cards until you have those 2 backups.
Oh, yeah.
That's the key.
Yeah.
Don't erase till it's backed up again.
I would rather, if I was going to get mugged, I'll give someone my camera, but I want to keep the memory.
Especially as the trip goes on.
Yeah.
You'd give somebody...
But what,
so would you say to them, here, you can have the camera, just give me the memory?
He would. He's very analytical.
Yeah.
it costs more to go to Antarctica or to go to Africa than it does to get a new camera, which is probably insured.
Two questions. Camera insurance. What do you use?
It's usually just bundled with general travel insurance.
Got it.
So when you're traveling, and that covers that.
And then I forgot my second one. Must have been good.
I don't remember it.
I'm looking to you, Leo.
I have no idea. I'm trying to install Lightroom.
Usually it's
4.
What is my favorite place? That's the one question I always get.
Isn't that the hardest thing to answer?
What's your favorite place?
I can't answer that.
That's why I didn't ask it.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
You're a good interviewer.
Many years interviewing.
I know. That's the worst question.
I didn't ask you either. I'm the pro.
What's the worst place you've ever been?
Oh, yeah. That's a good question.
What's the dump?
There has to be a place.
There's no place that I would never return to, but the place I always felt was the saddest was East Timor.
Oh, I bet.
They had just finished a civil war. The morning I was there was an assassination attempt on the president and the prime minister.
Oh, geez.
There were peacekeeping troops out.
Do you avoid dangerous places like that, or do you
In fact, Cambodia and Thailand have been fighting over a temple called Previere, and I went up there right in the middle of the fighting. A couple of guys were killed by a landmine the day I was there. You just have to be smart about it and what you're doing, and what you see on the news is always exaggerated.
Right.
And I have found firsthand, witnessing events and then hearing them reported on the news, that they're grossly exaggerated. Oftentimes, it's people that weren't there that are reporting on it. And like when I was in Thailand, everyone's saying don't go to Thailand, yet all the protests were happening in a couple square block radius in Bangkok. And if you were in a different part of town, you'd never know what would happen.
I remember my question. So we talked about backup, but you're going from country to country. You don't want to have – it's too much value to carry. Are you shipping stuff back or are you just carrying it with you, all your stuff?
I did that when I first started traveling, but the cost of shipping are so great that it's not worth it anymore.
So you'll go 6 months with all your images with you.
Yeah. But I will up, But but 10 to 20% of the images, after I process them, the best ones get uploaded to SmugMug, and
so
that's
safe
in my gallery. So
got
it's
it
not the worst that could happen would be that the raw images would be lost, and that would be that would not be good. But I at least have something.
Got it. Great tip. All right. Well, thank you so much for coming.
Thanks for having me.
You know what I have?
What?
Lightroom 4. That's what I've been
someone
doing.
Just, yeah. But Leo's been, you know, if Leo's quiet, he's on to something else.
I'm just going to import my new Lightroom.
I'm doing that tonight.
Yeah. There you go. $79. Why not? You know? That's less than a pizza and a
that's efficient
mug of beer. Gary, nice to meet you. Thank you for coming here. I really appreciate it. Enjoy safe travels, and let's talk again in 20, 30 years and see where else you've been.
Maybe Canada.
Thank you, Catherine Hall. Catherine Hall is at catherinehall.net. Read her blog post. She's got a picture every week
yeah
for your tip.
Yeah.
And lots of great information there. And we're going to look for the new app, which will be out in April, you think? Can't wait. That's going to be a lot of fun. Anything else you want to mention? Who's next week?
We are still confirming next week's. We had a changeover, but it's going to be a dude guest. And what I mean by that is something like sports or bullets or like something cool.
I think this was a dude guest.
Yeah.
I think Gary was a dude guest.
He has share.
I thought this was our dude.
It may only be one.
Our dude quota.
No, we're
trying
to get.
So you could do a wedding photographer next week.
I've only done two wedding photographers.
I'm just teasing you.
I'm listening to the audience. I'm trying to get more dude guests in.
We like dude guests.
Yeah.
But you can do anything you want.
No, I want to have a dude guest.
Because you are Catherine Hall.
Well,
we thank you all for being here. We hope you come back every Tuesday about 1:30 Pacific, 4:30 Eastern on twit.tv. Pardon me?
Who was Trey's last night? Do you know?
I don't know. Who was on Trey's Variety Hour? Oh, yeah, he's in Hawaii shooting a movie with Tom Anderson.
Oh, that's so horrible.
They're doing I don't know if this is, I could say this. They're doing a TV show, travel TV show.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah.
I was wondering when that was going to happen.
Yeah. They're shooting. I don't know if they've got
a matter
network
of time
or anything. Yeah. Thank you, Gary.
Thank you,
Catherine. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much.
We'll see you next time on Twit Photo.